The West Live. The West Live. With Ben O'Shea. Brought to you by the WA Local Government Association. What's your happy place?
There we go! There's the mark of the year!
Joining me now in the studio to talk footy, and what a weekend of footy it was for West Coast supporters, Channel 7's Mark Reddings. G'day, Skate.
Hello, Benny. Yes, no shrinking violets in this studio this morning, but what a noise made by 50,000 fans at Optus last night. It was like a final. It was like a grand final. And the Eagles were 22 points down, and they somehow got off the canvas and got the result with Josh Kennedy, with 36 seconds or thereabouts remaining, kicking around his body. Eagles hit the front for the first time for a long time in that game, and they find themselves now in seventh position, a game clear of the Tigers. It was worthy of a final, as I say, just a fantastic night at the footy.
I thought they were cooked in the fourth quarter.
Yep, they were in all sorts of trouble, and look, it took something special. We know that Kennedy kicked the match winner. We know that Elliot Yeo was huge in the last quarter when it needed to be won. Dom Sheed, Shannon Hearn, Jack Redden all played their part. So it's a massive win for the Eagles heading into the bye. So they now become realistic chances to finish top four. They're right in the mix in terms of only percentage off fourth spot. They have played an extra game, but this team's only going to get better because Luke Shuey will return from injury this week, playing for West Coast in the Waffle against Subiaco. Jeremy McGovern will also return in the not too distant future. So after the bye, you'd think the Eagles will get a pretty good run home with availability of players, personnel, and with that you'd expect some results to come. So massive night for everyone, and as I said, 50,000 people Sunday night. Yep. Footy at Optus Stadium. I don't think that will be a norm just because it's a public holiday in Melbourne today, but the fans, as I say, if you build it, the fans will come.
Well, a fantastic night for the fans. Nat, my producer, was there, and she said one of the best Eagles games she'd ever seen, and she's not one that really goes for hyperbole, and I reckon there are a lot of people in the stadium that felt the same. Do you reckon going forward now in this second half of the year, we're going to see those crowd numbers come back up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw 56 or thereabouts at the Dreamtime game, 54,000 Collingwood West Coast on a Friday night, 50 last night. Yeah, I think that will continue to be the way. It all depends on how the Eagles, for instance, are travelling. If they're pushing towards the top four, those numbers will continue to go north, Benny, because everyone loves a winner.
And what about that? What about that? That kick to Kennedy for that match-winning goal? Did he go 15 metres?
Probably not. No, but let's not destroy a good story with some facts. It was very much, I reckon, about 13 or 14 metres, and the umpire almost compelled to pay the mark given.
You couldn't call it. Like you'd see a dozen of those every game, and you're not going to get the ruler out every time. It's just, you know, it's close enough, I think, probably it was.
Exactly. And look, again, just going 22 points down, they had to find a way in that last 10 minutes, and they did just that. And apart from maybe Dom Sheed, you'd think that the best player to have that footy at that moment was Josh Kennedy.
Yep.
And he kicked the goal to essentially secure the win. So, yeah, huge game of footy. And just shows you the Eagles, if they play at their best at home, they're very tough. In fact, they haven't lost consecutive home games, be it Optus Stadium or Subiaco Oval, since round 14 and 16 of 2017. Mm. That's how consistent they are playing in Perth.
But gosh, they'd be in a much better position if they'd beaten the Bombers, though.
Oh, there's a lot of what-ifs in footy.
Yeah, you can't have it. You can't do that.
That win last night will give them great momentum for the second half of the year.
And let's talk about the Dockers, because it was a rare weekend where we had two, they're both home teams playing at Optus. The Dockers against the Suns, I was there for that one.
It was a horrible first half.
The first half.
Horrendous.
Yikes, that was bad football. Like, I couldn't believe it.
It was Clanger City.
No one wanted to kick a goal.
It was just error-riddled. It was mistakes left, right and centre. Thankfully, in the third quarter, the Dockers got their mojo back. They kicked six goals. They put the Suns to bed. The Suns were, seriously, they should have been winning that game. I mean, I tipped Fremantle, but I thought the Suns, given the side they had put out there, were entitled to play a lot better than they did. So the Dockers, love the work of Sean Darcy in the ruck. He's terrific. David Mundy, again, instrumental. There's some young players coming through. A couple of debutants had a piece of the action. Brandon Walker, Joel Weston, they'll only benefit from game time. And a bit like Fremantle and West Coast both, players coming back in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Alex Pearce, for instance, he had a full game on Saturday afternoon, unscathed, which is great to see. He's such an important player to them. After the break, they'll get more players back, including, of course, Nat Fyfe.
Yeah.
After they have a breather, they will certainly be a better side, personnel-wise, in the back end of the season.
Can they sneak into the
top
eight?
Well, it's a question, isn't it? I'm not sure. Look, the Giants draw with North Melbourne, that leaves them, I guess, vulnerable to making the eight. Sydney's the team having lost to Hawthorn that might fall out. They're the side that looks vulnerable. And Richmond's actually eighth at the moment, but and everyone who's in the eighth hoping they're the team that falls out because no one wants to play.
No way. You'd have to think at the pointy end of the season they'll get it figured out. And the Swans are one of those teams that can go on a streak, I reckon. And so either way, losing streak or a winning streak.
So what it says is essentially at this time of the year, if you're not in the eight, it's pretty tough to get in there. So, look, Fremantle, if you keep winning matches, obviously you're in the conversation. So hopefully they can do that. They've got a pretty good run coming up. Collingwood, who, of course, today, by the way, Nathan Buckley, in about 3 hours, will coach the Magpies for the last time in the MND match, the Big Freeze match at the SCG, not the MCG. So interesting to see the response by the Collingwood players today for Nathan Buckley.
Yeah. Well, it certainly will be very interesting to see. It's a shame it's not happening at the MCG in front of 90,000 people and give him a sort of a fitting farewell. Does he stay in footy?
I think he'll stay in footy. I think he'll go to the media initially, a bit like Ross Lyon has done. Don't be surprised if he bobs up at a company that we're associated with at some point. But he's very well spoken, highly regarded.
He's done it all, hasn't he?
There's a spot for him in the media and back in football when he so chooses. When you say he's done everything, the one thing he hasn't done, Benny, is win a flag, which is sometimes you can be as good as you can and not quite get the cream. And unfortunately for Nathan, that's been the case.
Yeah. And well, let's talk about the Wildcats. They are a club that has got plenty of cream over the years, like the winningest professional sports franchise pretty much ever. And they're playing a final tonight.
They are indeed.
Must win?
Well, yeah, they lose the season.
They're gone.
They win, they're in the grand final. So the stakes as high as you can
be.
Absolutely.
Almost couldn't be higher.
You've also got to wonder how they continue to tick over without Bryce Cotton. I mean, Mitch Norton's gone down with an injury. Hopefully he'll be fit for tonight. If he doesn't pass the fitness test, I have no idea how they're going to, if they get to a grand final, how they'll compete with either South East Melbourne or Melbourne United. But it's been extraordinary the way they've managed to play to a system, get that result on Saturday against Illawarra, play here tonight, hopefully get through. And you know what? People say, oh, well, you're in the grand final, but you can't win without Bryce Cotton. I can tell you now, if you're in the grand final, you've got more chance of winning it than sitting on the sidelines drinking pina coladas in your off season.
And look, if they could, we're obviously looking a long way ahead right now. But you know, they've faced as much adversity in these last few weeks, I reckon, as any title run in recent years. It'll be very interesting to see how they go if they can get up in front of the Red Army. And let's talk the Olympics and hockey. You got something coming up with the Hockey Roos?
Yeah, this morning, in fact, the Hockey Roos and the Kookaburras, they will announce and reveal their Olympic teams to go to Tokyo. So we know the Hockey Roos have had some really strange times off the pitch, some real issues. Yep, so whether that's put behind them, we'll wait and see. But they're currently ranked fourth in the world. Kookaburra's ranked number one. What are we down to? About 40 days before the Olympics start, and just a day after that, both teams will kick off their campaigns to win medals, and that's what they have to be aiming for. Fourth and first, respectively, Hockey Roos, Kookaburras. You're looking at getting a podium finish at the Olympics, albeit very strange
circumstances. If you're going in number one ranked, you know, like nothing less than a gold medal, you would have to think is the goal there. Coming in fourth, you know, it's not like some of the other athletic events where if you're sort of top four in the world, then you know you can legitimately fancy your chances. I think in a team sport, it is tougher. Like there can be a gap between 1, 2, 3,
absolutely,
and 4.
And with what the Hockey Roos have got such a wonderful Olympic history, what they've been through politically, I guess, in the last 12 months.
And it's stuff about selection, like and culture. There's some really hard things to overcome, and then to then band together as a team. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, but to be fair, exciting for so many of these athletes who've waited not just 4 years, 5 years in most of their cases. So this is just one little tick that they put next to their schedule towards Tokyo. Then, of course, it's getting there, all the COVID restrictions. It's going to be bizarre, but all you can do is face those hurdles one by one, and hopefully they'll respond and get some results. That's what we'd love to see as we support them from afar.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Mark Reddings, all the best today with the hockey players and their big announcement, and we'll talk to you next week on the West Live.
Thanks, Benny.